Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. I'm your coach, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I guess I'm not just your coach, I'm your host, so kind of messed that up. Hey, guys, I got an interesting one for you today. I got a guy that sent me an email, said that I wasn't fair and balanced, that I'm too harshly against 401ks and IRAs, and I wrote him back, and so I appreciate your opinion, and but you have to understand that I'm for the small guy. I'm for the average American out there who the 401k and the IRA is not working for. And he said, well, I'm surprised you wrote me back. Well, thank you for that anyway, but I think you should be more fair and balanced. Here's an article that proves that, you know, many people are very happy with their 401ks and IRAs. And I read the article, and it really set me back because the article didn't really say what the guy thought he was saying. In fact, the article is actually going to be the power for me to destroy his argument. And I don't want to destroy the person. I like the guy, and he is a member. And he's just trying to make the point that some of us did okay that way. Well, the problem with his argument is that everybody in this world thinks that everybody else in this world is just like themselves. And that when you get up to where rich people are at, and really, really, really rich people, or just highly compensated individuals, people that have really high-paying jobs, they have very easy access to save a lot of money. And so they end up saving more money because of this. But you have to understand how skewed the marketplace really is. So I'm going to tell a story to you that will show you how skewed the market really is. And then we'll get into this. Now, interestingly enough, I'm actually going to use his own article against him, against his argument. And then I'm going to take him one step further. I'm going to use his very premise to prove that he's not that well off, although he thinks he is. And all the people just like him are not that well off, although they think they are. And how people that are working with me that have the same amount of wealth that he has are earning anywhere from 200 to 500% more income with their savings than he is. And we'll go from there. And it's going to be a very interesting article. But the first thing I want to share with you is that I, for many years after I became a millionaire when I was 34 years old, I increased my wealth a little bit each year. And it just couldn't figure out how, you know, I mean, it's a major thing. And I tell people all the time, like a guy come in and sit down with me and say, okay, I want to be a millionaire because they tell me I need to earn 4% and have $1 million to be able to earn $40,000 a year to retire on. That's this big goal in life, to have $1 million, earn 4% on that, and live on 40 grand a year and Social Security, which another probably 24,000 a year at the most. So there they are living at 64 grand a year and maybe leaving a job of 100,000, 200, 300,000 a year. Who knows what they're living? But you know, a lot of people make less than that, don't get me wrong. So you sit there with a guy and he said, well, why are you coming to see me if you've got a financial planner? He goes, well, the financial planner says come back and see him when I got $1 million. Where are you at right now? And he says, $200,000. And I said, well, look, $1 million is a thousand. You have 200. You only need 800 more. Since it took you 40 years to save up $200,000, how do you believe that you can save up another $800,000 in the next 2 or 3 years before you retire? The reason I make this point is because I'm trying to show people how little they understand about how much money rich people have. And in this day and age, $1 million isn't even that much, but I'll tell you what, a couple thousand, 20, 50, 100,000 is nothing in this age. So lo and behold, a couple years into the deal, I was trying to figure out how to become a billionaire, and I started looking around for billionaire seminars. And do you know there are no billionaire seminars anywhere? And then I started looking for books on how to be a billionaire, and there's no books on how to be a billionaire. There's books about billionaires. I mean, we all know Mark Cuban's a billionaire, right? We all know Mark Zuckerberg's a billionaire. But it doesn't, there's no book on how to go out and do what Mark Cuban did or what Zuckerman did. There's no training ground for being a billionaire, right? So I finally had a friend one day that told me he knew a billionaire. And I said, could you hook me up with a consultation with the guy? And so the guy flew all the way in from California to Houston in his Learjet to have breakfast with me. The guy was unbelievable. You know how really, really rich people have the best clothes, the best haircut, their fingernails are manicured. He comes up in a limo. He's got a bodyguard. But when he sat down, he was just the nicest guy in the whole world. He was actually from Houston. And he was the guy that invented the idea of drive time traffic reports by helicopters. And they don't do them anymore now because they have cameras. But before, they had to have a helicopter up there to see what was going on. He came up with this idea, sold it all over the country, and became a billionaire. So I sat down with the guy. And I said, look, I'm trying to figure out how to become a billionaire. And the guy goes, well, let me ask you this. What can you start with? What amount of money can you put up right now for us to go invest? And I said, I can come up with $10 million right now. I'm good for $10 million. Let's make this thing happen. And he said to me, he said, Dell, there's 1,000 million in a billion. You have 10. You only need 990 more. He said, how old are you? I said, 50. He said, you're never going to make it. It's impossible to do what you want to do. And then he made this point. He said, Einstein said it best when he said, you can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking the problem was created at. Your very concept of how you think you're doing so well making money because you're a millionaire means nothing to someone who is a billionaire. It's small potatoes. Just like this guy telling me that, hey, I've retired and I've saved $1 million and man, I've made it. That's it. I'm successful. And I'm saying, no, sir. In your mind, you're successful. In the world of the upper one percentile, you haven't even come close. You see, the upper one percentile of human beings in America control 80% of the wealth. You have to be at 3.5 million just to break in to that upper 1%. To go from that all the way up, all the way into the billions. 3.5 million just to break into the upper 1%. So that puts you in the lower 19th percentile. Because people in the upper 20 percentile control a mass percentage. I don't know the exact percentage. I was going to look it up, but I didn't get to it. A mass percentage, 90, 95% of all the wealth in this country is owned by the upper 20%. So this gentleman is obviously in that upper 20%. So I'm not saying he shouldn't be proud of himself. I'm not saying he hasn't done a good job, but what I'm saying is he's nowhere near as successful as the people in my program that have gone out and bought 4 or 5 apartment complexes. Nowhere near, not even close, not even one-fifth as rich as these people. But wealth isn't everything. Satisfaction has something to do with it. And this article he sent me is about that. It's not about the actual dollars and cents of retirement, although we're going to go through them. It's about satisfaction. And so when we go through this article here in the next segment, we're going to cover this. It's called Retirement is Better Than Expected. But while we go through this article, I'm going to also parallel another article, which I read to you last week, and show you that it really isn't what he says. This article says so many of us are in for a financial jolt, and it comes back and says 71% of people in their 50s think that they'll never be able to retire.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
Most people retire later in life. I retired at 34. But what's interesting is every single year I add more real estate to my portfolio. Hence, what happens is more real estate I own, more money I make. I'm telling you this not to impress you, but to impress upon you. Just in the last 2 months, I've added five properties, and the five properties are bringing me an additional $45,000 a month. Now think about that. If you made $45,000 more a month than what you make now, you'd have no problems on this earth, right? Well, interestingly enough, you have to realize that's $45,000 more. I've been doing this for 30 years. You can go through the numbers yourself and intellectually figure out that I've got to be making quite a bit more money than that after 30 years. If that's how much I was able to create as far as new income sources in just the last 2 months. Again, I'm not telling you this to impress you about me. I'm telling you, look at what can be done if you'll just do it. And to do it, there's something important you have to realize. You can have whatever you want, but you can't have everything.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes. Del Walmsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Call us at 866-945-6565. We're having a heated debate about why the people in the upper income brackets of our society believe that the 401k and the IRA actually work when 80% of Americans believe that it doesn't. Yes, 80% of Americans are being left out in the cold when it comes to retirement, and the upper echelon just keep on slugging that money away. You know, a highly compensated income earner can use the 401k and the IRA to their advantage. But we've got more to cover on this because I'm going to take that apart at the seams also. Let's start with this article. Who's the article by? Get this, a new national survey by T. Rowe Price shows that many recent retirees who have 401ks and rollover IRAs have created substantial nest eggs and report they are both financially and emotionally sound. And emotionally sound, that's cool, right? All right, T. Rowe Price is, guess what, somebody who manages 401ks. And what do they want you to know? IRAs, they want you to know that if you do what we tell you to do, there's going to be a chance that you'll be emotionally satisfied at retirement. It goes on and says, because of access to workplace savings plans, this is a relatively wealthy self-set of baby boomer generation, and the median net assets of almost $500,000 investable assets plus real estate minus debt. So in other words, what they're saying is they're talking to people that have over $500,000 net worth, including their real estate, by the way. So the article's already disingenuous. Are you with me? It's already disingenuous by the fact that it's saying that the median is $500,000, okay? It's also saying that that's of their real estate, when, you know, and their stocks and bonds. Do you realize that most Americans, especially the conservative ones that work hard, put their money in their 401k, that somewhere around 40 to 50% of their net worth is in their personal residence? And so, you know, to say these guys have $500,000, but really half of it's their personal residence, come on, guys. I'm going to take this thing apart paragraph by paragraph because you can see it's crazy. Okay, now I'm going to read you that other article, and it's interesting. It says, according to the Wells Fargo study, almost half of the non-retirees in this study were not confident that they would have enough to live on after they retired. The lack of confidence jumped to 71% for people in their 50s. The group's median amount saved for retirement was $20,000. All right? That's far below the minimum benchmark of $500,000 that was found to be the happy point. There it is. Both articles say the $500,000 is the happy point, right? Where you are emotionally sound. But are you financially sound? Have you gotten anywhere near close to be able to make it work? Well, let's turn it over here to the next page and go into this a little bit further because I think it's a little bit disingenuous. Again, it says nearly half of married couples, it goes, the key difference is marital status of whether you're successful or not successful. In other words, what this article says, I'll paraphrase it, is that married couples who both spouses work are able to save twice to three times as much as single people because they are splitting their overhead and they have two jobs, two executive jobs, and they can fill up two IRAs, two 401ks, etc., is what they're saying. And so they go on to say that nearly half of all married couples in this group, remember, this is a very, very small group of people that they looked at that, let me define that for you again, they said it right here, a very, very small targeted group of individuals that are a relatively wealthy subset of the baby boomer generation. I just want you to get that so you don't lose track. They went out and picked the people they wanted to talk about, right? And they said that the married couples have between $500,000 and $2.5 million net worth, and the single people have anywhere from $50,000 to $500,000 net worth in this handpicked group of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not the average person. This is a handpicked group that they're using for their demonstration, for their advertisement, for their marketing ploy, whatever it is they're doing here. The next section of the article says, these people are very mindful of their savings and they control it very carefully. And it says, they are also being careful about drawing down their retirement assets. The median annual withdrawal was 4%, in line with what financial advisors often recommend. All right? Still, 29% withdrew just 1% or less. They're thinking the balance has to last a long time. All right? Goes on and says, significantly, 60% say they would rather reduce their income to adjust for swings in financial markets rather than continue to withdraw a fixed amount from their retirement account. In other words, this new crop of retirees understand the need for flexibility to preserve the assets because of the volatility of the stock market. So there you go. What happens when the stock market crashes down and that $1 million becomes $600,000, right? And that $1 million becomes $600,000. Then what do you do? Well, what they have to do is drop down and take only 1% or less, right? Now, let's go back over here to the numbers again. Let's go back to this other sheet of paper, and they're saying, okay, single people are going to withdraw 4%. 4% of $50,000 is going to be $2,000 a year, and 4% of $500,000 is going to be $20,000 a year. So what they're saying is these single guys that are supposedly happy are living on between $2,000 and $20,000 a year? Friends, Romans, relatives, human beings, Americans, I don't care who am I talking to out there that's dumb enough to believe that you can live on between $2,000 and $20,000 a year in retirement and be happy. That's what's funny about the article is that it's not saying they're doing well, it's just saying they're satisfied that they've made it, right? Now, a married couple making between $500,000 and $2.5 million at 4% would be making $20,000. And at 4% at $2 million would be making $80,000. And $2.5 million would be making $100,000. So these guys are going to make between $40,000 and $100,000 if everything goes right. Are you with me? That means the stock market can never have an off year. They can never lose any of that nest egg. Is that likely? I don't think so. Doesn't make much sense to me, right? Now wait, let's go one step further. What if it goes down to 1%? What if they have to be conservative, like it says? It said 62% of them felt like it had to be conservative on this stuff.
Now more intel to build a better lifestyle from Del Wamsley.
401k, the IRA, pay off your home. If you live all those nonsensical ideas, then you cannot and will not be able to do what we do here at Lifestyles, which is to go out and retire in anywhere from 2 to 5 years. You will not be able to continue to increase your income after you're retired for the rest of your life. In fact, you will be living on the edge of the fear that your income will go down because you lose your job. Then you'll live off whatever your finances can produce for you. But as you utilize that money to live on it, there's going to be less finances available to you. And eventually, you will eat away your nest egg. Now, that is the spiral that you're going to live with. Our spiral is just the opposite. The more money I make, the less I need of what I make. The larger percentage of what I make I can save. The more I save, I end up with useless cash that can be nothing done with. Interest rates are less than 0.5% right now. With real estate, you can earn anywhere from 6 to 10%.
We'll come back with more of the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Wamsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Our number here is 866-945-6565. If you'd like to get into this conversation about whether or not the 401k and the IRA is actually beneficial for the average person out there. And using the article that the gentleman who was trying to make the argument sent me as actually argument against him, you know, the bottom line is they're saying that they're going to withdraw 1% to 4% on their assets once they're coming out of these 401ks and their IRAs, and that's going to be, you know, even for this rich person, you know, that's somewhere from only 1% of $2.5 million, be $25,000 a year. If that were the case, $500,000, that would only be 1% of it, be $5,000 a year. So, you know, what's happening here is that the people that have they're highly paid in individuals, high compensation packages at work, are able to save a lot of money, and the 401k, you know, can work for them. But for the average person, 80% of the people are better, that just doesn't work. So it goes on in this article and it says, they'd rather dynamically manage their spending to preserve their account balances than maintain the constant income. This is different from the generations. Older generations were probably more interested in having steady income. Well, I would be interested in having steady income, right? But these guys are not. So we go with this. There's two more levels here you got to look at. One of the levels is, okay, if their net worth for these people, as it says in this article, are somewhere between $500,000 and $2.5 million, and your personal residence is usually 50% of your net worth, then that even lowers the amount. Because these numbers that they're stating in this article, it's very clear. It says this is numbers are investable assets plus real estate minus debt. In other words, net asset real estate value. So if you take the net asset real estate value out of here, these people have even less money than this. So 1% to 4% of less money means even less rate of return. So if this gentleman's calling me, he's got $1 million, and I think this guy had his house paid off too or whatever, so it's not really reducing the $1 million he's talking about claiming. But I'm not talking about this gentleman. I'm talking about everybody. This gentleman's thinking that everybody's just like him, and I'm telling you, it's not. Let's go on. It gets even deeper than this. It says, in addition to a recent retiree, T. Rowe Price, the very people doing the survey, also polled 1,000 pre-retirees age 50 and up to get a sense of how confident they are about entering retirement. Possibly because of the unknown, it's always a bit scary, but this group is decidedly more worried about how they will fare financially. They are more likely to expect that they will have to reduce their standard of living and will struggle to cover health care expenses. On average, this group intends to work until they're 68 years old, and 80% will delay Social Security until they will be at least full retirement age and eligible for 100% of the benefit, okay, which is like 70 years old. A third plan to wait until age 70 when, thanks to delayed retirement, so I guess it's like 68 is regular retirement. If you wait till 70, you'll get their benefit will be at least 32% higher. Just one in five will start as soon as possible, age 62. Okay, so age 62 is where you can start taking it. So only one in five, only 20% will take Social Security. So what is this saying? This is saying the average person is going to now work until they're 70 years old. Now, you got to ask yourself, is that really even retirement? That's not retirement. That's death. That's falling asleep and waking up dead. It's ridiculous to think you're going to work till you're 60. I can barely get out of bed in the morning. I haven't worked since I was 34. I have no idea how people are working. It drives me crazy. Now, let's go one step further, because there's more to this than this. There are people out there that have just as much money as this gentleman that has the $1 million that's making this argument that I'm too harsh about how bad 401ks are. But I have members that have millions of bucks. And my members are earning anywhere from 10 to 20% on their correctly done real estate investments. So if you've got $1 million, you can earn 10%. That's $100,000 a year. That's quite a bit different than $40,000 a year. At a 20% return, if you've got a really good real estate investment deal, you're earning $200,000 a year. At $500,000, right? At $500,000, you could be earning $50,000 a year instead of only $5,000 a year. That's a whole lot different. Or instead of $20,000 a year. It's 150% more. I don't see why you would want to take the lower amount. It makes no sense to me. If you've got $2 million, wouldn't you want to live on $400,000 a year instead of $80,000 a year? Just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I can't wrap my arms around that kind of logic. It makes no sense at all. And so I have millionaires with me. But what I want to make this point to you is this. Is that on the average, the people that come into us, they don't have $1 million. If you look at the average, they don't have anywhere near that. If you look at the median, they don't have anywhere near that. There are people that come in as millionaires when they come in. But those guys are looking to replace $200,000 and $300,000 a year paychecks, and they don't want to go down to $40,000 or $50,000 a year. So even if you got $1 million in a bank and you had a $300,000 or $400,000 a year job, you're not going to be happy with making even $80,000 a year. It's not going to be enough for you. After taxes, you're only going to take home $60,000. That just doesn't make any sense. I would suggest that I am not too harsh, and note, I am not too brutal on 401ks and IRAs, because for 70 to 80% of Americans out there, it's a failed experiment. It didn't work. It didn't get people to where they need to be. And the people are not happy. And those people are finding us. They're finding us here at Lifestyles. They're coming in. They're having an aha moment, an epiphany moment, like I had this weekend, the two-day seminar. People come in and they go, it's amazing. They come up to me and say, man, you know, I heard you on the radio. It sounded good, it made some sense, but I just couldn't wrap my arms around it. I couldn't get it. And now I get it. Some people get it in the first half of the first day, some people get it in the last half of the last day. But when it finally strikes you and the light bulb goes on and you realize you are going to be able to retire with a great lifestyle, between 2 and 7 years from now? And you've got to be really, really in bad situation to take 7 years. But hey, I'm just trying to be open-ended about this thing and say, hey, let's be fair. Some people can retire immediately. In fact, one guy had brought two buddies this weekend, and he was telling this story. It was a laugh. He goes, you know, 2 years ago, my wife and I were sitting there, and I told her there's no way I could ever retire. It just won't happen because my hobby's too expensive, and we don't have enough money. It's going to happen. He was sitting there now, 2 years later, and he was retiring in 274 days. And the conversation came up, and he goes, you know, once I finally got that epiphany, like you always talk about, that light bulb came on and I figured out how I was going to do it. I could see the map necessary to get there. He said, I couldn't believe it took me so long to make it happen. I said, how long did it take you to make it happen? He said, it's been a year. He goes, a whole year. I thought I could do it much quicker. And I laughed at him. I said, look, you've been working for 40 years. 40 years to save up the money that you couldn't even dream of retiring on. And within 1 year, you're now looking at retirement. And actually, it's going to be about 2 in totality by the time he says he's got another 274 days. So 2 years? Come on, man. Come on. People out there, how many of you want to do something in your life? And I'm not even talking about what you're thinking. I don't even know why you guys, other than the people that are already 50, are worried about retiring by 60. If you're out there, you're 20, you're 30 years of age. I had a guy on the radio yesterday who's 30 years old and retired, making 100 grand a year. I had another guy on a couple weeks ago, 26 years old, and already owns his own, 2 businesses, making over $100,000 a year and retired. Not. You know why he's not retired? Because he never had a job in his life. He started right out of high school and has never had a job in his life. And he now owns 2 businesses. And over the last 2.5 years, he's made himself, his family, and his partners $8.5 million. Want to learn more about Lifestyles Unlimited and the Real Estate Education and Mentoring Program? Call us at 866-945-6565. That's 866-945-6565. Or go to lifestylesunlimited.com to register for our free workshop.
The Del Wamsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Got an email here. It says, I live in DFW. A few years back, I thought trading stocks is the way to make money, and I registered for classes with a trading school here. After paying thousands of dollars of fees, I started trading and lost half of the little bit of money I had. A couple of months back, I heard about Lifestyles Unlimited, one of the local radio stations. After 2 months of thinking, I signed up for a free starter kit, attended a 2-hour workshop, signed up as a member, and now watching a bunch of these case study videos. I've signed up for a 2-day class that is happening next weekend in Irving. I still have that once bitten, twice shy mindset. I think I would get out of this mindset once I see some personal success. I'm planning to set a goal to earn $400 cash flow in real estate by the end of 2015. Not sure if this is an aggressive goal. Hey, look, $400 a month cash flow is not a problem unless you have no money to invest. That's one house can give you that. So that's not a problem, and that's not overly aggressive. But I do want to make this point to everybody out there. All right. This poor lady signed up for one of these stupid stock trading courses. Do you understand that trading stocks on a daily basis like this is really nothing but gambling? You might as well sign up for how to cut cards or how to play cards, because it's just insane. You're going to lose. The odds are against you. It isn't going to work. And you know what? I want to add this to it. And so is every other real estate course out there that has to do with flipping and wholesaling and working your butt off and busting your butt and taking advantage of people and selling stuff too high and buying it too low and ripping people off. Guys, we're not doing any of that. We're buying assets that make us passive streams of income, and we're growing our wealth. I don't like any of that other stuff, and I especially don't like day trading programs and courses. So I'm very sorry that that happened, and I'm very sorry when any of those other courses get a hold of people and I get to them after those courses and they've lost their money, and that which they could have done before those guys had got to them has now been diminished. 877-655-6755. Holding now is Tony from California. Tony, how can we help you today?
On a rental property. I got a couple houses here in San Francisco. I've been renting them for a few years now, and what I want to do is sell them, but I want to avoid paying the capital gains. What are my options so I don't have to do that?
Okay, what you're going to need to do is use something called an IRS 1031 tax-free exchange.
Okay.
The way that works is when you sell your properties, instead of taking control of the cash at closing, you're going to have a 1031 company that will come in, put the documents and the paperwork together for you, which will say at closing that we're not actually taking the money. We're going to put it into a escrow account. And then we're going to go out and identify within 45 days properties that we would like to roll the money into, or in other words, buy some different properties. You have to be able to identify which properties you want within 45 days. And then you have to close on them within 180 days from when you closed on your first properties that you just sold. If you do that, then all of the capital gains, and by the way, all that depreciation you've been taking, which you would have had to recapture, all of that also will roll into the new property.
Okay, now this new property that I get into, it could I purchase this property and live in it, or does it have to be a rental property as well?
Has to be an income producing property.
It has to be an income producing property.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the info.
No problem, Tony. What city you live in out there?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Good to have you as a listener, man. Call in anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. 866-945-6565. Email says from Annabelle. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Says, hi, Dell. Just double-checking. In the last weekend course, I understood that investing in apartments was a much better return on investment, and I thought you said you might expect anywhere from between 10 and 20%. Is that a monthly return? No. You misunderstand totally. That's an annualized return on your investment. Between 10 and 20% is the number that I quote on a realistic basis when you buy properties in an appropriate manner, do it correctly, you should be able to earn somewhere between 10 and 20% on cash flow. If you don't hit that number, you shouldn't buy the property unless it's a yield play property. I'm sorry, a value play property where you know you don't make that much up front, but you're going to turn it around and then you're going to make a lot of money on capital gains on the other end of the transaction. So other than that, now, there is one other thing in this email that's important, and that is, he's talking about why I believe that apartment complexes are more valuable or more profitable than single family. It's not necessarily because of the cash flows, because they're the same. By the time you pay for the management, the maintenance, the utilities, turnover, taxes, insurance, all that stuff, they come out about the same. So what is different? Well, what's different is when I buy an apartment complex, and let's say I put my $100,000 in there, or whatever it is it takes, could be $50,000. I put my money in there, and I go in and raise the rents by 10%. A 10% increase in rents is going to raise the value of the property, all right, in an amount equal to what I put into the property as a down payment. In other words, I'm going to have 100% capital gain on my invested portion of the deal. Now, you just can't do that with houses. What's even neater about that is that not only am I going to be able to make that money, I'm going to be able to go back to the bank within 90 days and refinance that money back out after I've stabilized the property and refinance that money back out. And now, whatever it was I put in, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, or a million, whatever I put in, I've got it back, and I can go do it again. So the ability to continue to grow your net worth and grow your assets is much greater in the apartment industry than it is in the single family industry. So my friends, today I hope I've proved to you that the argument that this gentleman said that I'm too harsh on 401ks and IRAs, I hope I proved that I'm not, that I'm here to protect the small to middle class investor and not the big, rich, highly compensated executive who already has $1 million in the bank. I can still help them, but remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.